for joining us. My name is Cecile Blake, and I'm from the UN Statistics Division in New York. And I will be speaking about, we'll be having a conversation about geographical names. I thought that it was important for me to bring the subject of geographical names to the Americas, because from the standpoint of the group of experts on geographical names, the uptake in the Americas in terms of the use and benefits of names is not what we hoped it would be. And I guess there are many varying reasons for this. And this is just 90 minutes of having a conversation. You hear the peacocks outside? Those are the noises from the peacocks, right, Alvaro? Yes, so we're going to be having a conversation. Unfortunately, the agenda is too much for 90 minutes and what I want to say. And I'm beginning by apologizing to my non-English speakers because we have no interpretation and I may be speaking a little fast, so I'm asking you to forgive me. Alvaro is here, and he will provide support. And please feel free to stop me if I'm saying something that you do not understand, and we'll have Alvaro interpret for us, because it is important for us to leave here with something.
So, okay, I can translate the third part.
¿No? Go ahead, Alvaro.
Sí. No. Bueno, muy buenos días a todos, muy bienvenidos. Bueno, Cecil dice que es una agenda bastante comprimida, ¿no?, para estos 90 minutos. Que la disculpen si va un poco rápido, y por no también disculpo no hablar español. Pero que se sientan en libertad, esto es una conversación abierta, y que se sientan absolutamente relajados y libres de decir stop en algún momento, hacer alguna pregunta, y yo voy a hacer, I will do my best to to try to support Cecil with the translation. Así que, bueno, ahí nos vamos funcionando de esa manera. Cecil tiene una presentación, entonces va a ir abordando los temas sobre este side event.
Okay, so what we'll be speaking about today, we'll be talking a little bit about what is in a name and what's name standardization. Is anybody here who has worked with geographical names? I know that there are two colleagues here from Chile who are members of their toponymic group.
Sí, sí.
Go ahead. Anybody sí. Has worked with geographical names?
Y la pregunta
es,
sí, ¿quiénes han trabajado con o están trabajando con nombres geográficos en sus países? Dice que levanten la manito.
Okay, so we don't need to have a conversation. You are all aware of geographical names. So no? Okay, so we'll be talking about name standardization. We'll be talking a little bit about structure and operations of ONGI again, but I will tell you I will not go very deeply into that topic. What for me will be interesting is the group simulation exercise, and that's the name, the paper I gave you. We'll be wanting you to work in groups, so you will have board members and you will have community members, and we'll explain more about that as we go along.
Sí, los papelitos que entregó Cecil son para dividir después a los participantes en dos grupos, un grupo como de community members y los otros de board members. Entonces, el papelito va a servir para agrupar a las personas y desarrollar la actividad que va a proponer más tarde.
Wonderful. And then we'll be looking a little bit about how we create national names authority and why it is important. And my last point has to do with a decision that came out of the Committee of Experts on Global Geospatial Information. Sorry, yeah, that's correct. Committee of Experts on Global Geospatial Information Management and a group of experts on geographical names and how both groups can work together. Okay, the next couple of slides, the whole discipline of names is the discipline of toponymy, which is the study of topographical objects with specific names and languages written in a special writing system. And it is important to understand the various terms that come with this discipline. And on the screen, a name is more than just a name that we see. It has to do with the language that is used, how it is pronounced, the writing systems, and how names are displayed, whether they're on a map, in a gazetteer, on a database. And of course, we have a glossary, a gazetteer, and these may mean different things to different persons. We talk about a place name index. We talk about standardization of names. What's an official name and what's a name's authority? And I must also share with you that in support of the PowerPoint presentation, I tried to prepare a manual. It is not what I wanted it to be, but it is a reference that provides more detail, and it should be uploaded to a website, Alvaro.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so you can, if you are interested to learn more about what is just on the screen, you can use that manual as a reference to support your further delve into the subject. Okay, geographical names, they have meanings, right? They represent vital parts of our heritage, and they reflect specific events and bear images. And I'm going to just stop right here because we have persons who are working in the area of names. And I will call on you, or if you don't volunteer yourselves, we are very small, so you can. I'm going to ask you to identify two names that satisfy any of the 4 points above that you are aware of in your country. A name that reflects a cultural heritage in your country, or a specific event in your country, or it reflects a condition that reigned where the place was first settled.
¿Se entiende lo que está pidiendo Cecil en español? Ella está, en el fondo, solicitándole que piensen en dos nombres geográficos que cumplan con las 4 condiciones que están aquí en esta diapositiva, ¿no? El primer punto es que representen una parte como importante, vital, ¿no? Dentro de lo que es la cultura nacional, ¿no? El segundo punto es que reflejen alguna condición específica de cuando el lugar sobre el cual estamos pensando un nombre fue como específicamente establecido, ¿no? Desde el origen del lugar y su nombre, que refleje algún evento específico asociado a ese lugar, también es otro punto posible para tomar en cuenta en pensar en estos dos nombres geográficos de sus países. Y el de Beer Images, Paulita, el beer, el punto 4 de Beer Images es como el que está acá, el punto 4 de acá. ¿Qué significa exactamente el Beer Images?
Sí.
Es como que traigan imágenes o recuerden imágenes.
Yes.
Algo así, exacto.
Okay. Anybody would like to try?
¿Quién se anima con dos nombres de sus países? Canadá.
Yeah.
Eric.
Sure, I'll. There's so many of them.
You can introduce yourself, Eric.
Pardon me?
Introduce yourself.
Yes, sorry, I'm Eric Loubier. I'm the Director General of the Canada Center for Mapping and Observation, which is essentially the mapping agency in Canada. And as well, we are responsible for the Names Board of Canada.
Mi nombre es Eric Loubier, es el director general de la Agencia de Cartografía de Canadá, que es la autoridad de los nombres geográficos de Canadá, está con nosotros también.
So I'll give you a name, quite easy actually, Canada itself.
Okay.
That easy is, its origin is Aboriginal. Originally it was Kanata, but it's been changed to somehow along the way to Canada, which means village or settlement.
Wow.
And that was taken for the name of the country. And there's a number of examples of indigenous names across Canada actually were in the process of reintroducing changing back to original name a number of places in Canada to train the recognition of the of our Indigenous people in Canada. So that's one of them.
Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful. So it reflects your country's heritage. It reflects the where the place where the persons were placed. So it reflects so many things, the name Canada. All right. Anybody else would like to...
¿Qué más se anima? ¿Qué más se anima, colegas?
¿Brasil? ¿México? ¿Sí?
Yes. Let me introduce myself. My name is Luis Gerardo Esparza. I'm from Mexico. I work at INEGI. When Eric said Canada, I remember a very typical name for Mexico is Tenochtitlan.
Okay.
Tenochtitlan is a place where, imagine the kings of the Aztecas, so they put that place, and Tenochtitlan is in the honor for one of his leaders. His name was Tenoch. And then Tenochtitlan is in honor for that person. Okay? Fui claro? Si was clear?
Okay.
Muchas gracias.
Muchas gracias.
Muchas gracias. Sí. So this was just a little exercise to show you that names have meaning and they are important. And oftentimes we just go about our business and we do not recognize that the history behind the name and the story behind the name, which is very important, and how names have changed. Using names. People use names in everyday discussion. We use names, and that's what I was saying. We don't even realize the type of names, you know, they are everywhere, and we take names for granted. Standardization, of course, is important, and in the UN, we have a document called the Glossary on the Standardization of Names, and this is just a definition of what standardization is about. It's a prescription by a names authority of one of more particular names together with their precise written form for the application to a specific geographical feature as well as to the conditions of their use. And usually all of this is done by a body, the National Names Authority. Different countries use different names. Eric from Canada calls his the National Names Board. Yes. And they take different forms and functions. Some of them are national, some of them are provincial, some of them are local. So they vary depending on the country and the governance structure. So usually we need to have an authority that's responsible for the standardization of names. And based on a survey we did, which is very old and we need to do it again, the statistics that we have found is that a very small percentage of countries across the world actually have active names board. And part of our work is to try to encourage countries to create these boards and to pay specific attention to how names are beneficial, because we often take them for granted all the time. Why is standardization important? Because we don't want to have too much duplication of names. Recently I heard a story about somebody who bought a plane ticket to fly somewhere, but it had the name of a place that he didn't want to go to. And when he got on the plane, he realized he ended up in a wrong place. I'm not remembering a specific name. But it is because we have many places with the same name, and oftentimes, if we're not careful, we'll end up in the wrong place. For example, when I got off the plane and I was in a taxi, I had to show him the exact address and name of the hotel, because there's another hotel with the same name that is in the same Costanero, which is in that very tall tower, which is the second highest tower in the southern hemisphere, that tall building. But I wasn't going to that hotel, and he nearly took me to that hotel. And it is because the duplication of names in places. So it is very important. So, names are important. We need to have spellings that are clear, consistent, and unambiguous. Names that are tied to a location. Names that are recorded and stored and easily available. And, of course, we all use names to communicate. And standardization is important. Okay, I know I went through very quickly, but I shared a little example. But I want you who are here to think about, to spend a few minutes. You can talk to each other. I know like some persons are in groups. And if you could just share with each other, maybe in groups. Eric, you can join Simone. And you have two persons here and two persons there. And just talk about why you think the standardization of names is important. Mm-hmm. And then we can share in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it could be Spanish speakers and English speakers, two groups.
Yes, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Just organize yourself and discuss.
Por eso decir que un grupo que lo que no hablan bien español, conjunto, Brasil.
Please, you can create your own groups on your
¿Pueden
own.
¿Pueden conversar ustedes cuatro? ¿Sí? ¿Español? ¿Ahí es todo español por ahí? ¿O con Sergio? ¿Sí? ¿Lida Rosa, querida? ¿Sí? ¿Español? ¿Sí? ¿Portuñol? ¿Sí? ¿It's okay?
Yes. My computer went dead.
Jamaica, Dominican Republic, Chile, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, Venezuela, Paraguay. I will write for you later the
list of people.
The list of people.
Yes. You don't have a lot of time, people. 5 minutes. It's a quick exercise. I'm referring to the group right here.
Colegas, continuamos con el curso de la reunión. Me imagino que ahora les vamos a pedir.
We are going to ask any representative of a group to talk about
what they spoke about. Yeah. Let's share.
Sí, es la hora de compartir lo que estábamos conversando. It is time to share what we were talking about in our groups.
Yes, very precise and
short. Brief, cortito, preciso. Así que queridos colegas, para allá.
Bueno, te lo digo en español y lo traducís a Cecil.
Dale. vamos a hacer el ejercicio. Vamos, adelante, querido.
Estábamos conversando acerca de la estandarización, la importancia de estandarización de los nombres, porque no es una cuestión estrictamente técnica, sino también política.
It is not a technical, but also a political issue.
En nuestro país, por ejemplo, Argentina, estamos tratando de establecer una estandarización para las provincias, porque las provincias son las que tienen la competencia de nombrar objetos geográficos y de que después van a la cartografía oficial.
Sí. What Sergio is saying that they are in Argentina, the province is the in charge, and this is the second administrative level which in charge to set the geographical names in the country.
Y después esos pasan a la cartografía oficial a través del Instituto Geográfico.
Claro. And from the province, they go to the National Geographic Institute to be part of the official mapping in the country.
Y y es necesario, como conversamos, una estandarización en función de cómo se tiene que dar ese nombre. Uh-huh. No puede ser personas vivientes, tiene que tener ciertas características que deben ser homogéneas para todo el país.
In terms of the standardization, for example, there are some rules. One of them is that, for example, they cannot be alive persons. And ¿qué otro caso?
Y que fundamentalmente a veces aparecen dentro de las provincias que hay un cerro que hay alguien que le quiere poner un nombre. Entonces hay ciertas circunstancias, a veces el nombre corresponde a una persona que no puede estar viva y otras circunstancias que hay que estudiar para que se reciba ese nombre, que no esté en otro lugar, en una serie de estandarizaciones que tener en cuenta antes de colocarlo en la cartografía oficial.
For example, somebody wants to put a name to a hill. It cannot be related with an alive person, and there are other circumstances that need also to be taken into account.
Y también en cuanto a al tipo de nombre que se le va a colocar y que también no esté denominado en otro lugar del país.
No. The idea is to try not to repeat the name in different parts of the country as well.
Y que tenga una reseña específica de por qué es ese nombre.
Yeah. And it is necessary to know the reason why they are putting that name to the place.
Antes.
Sí, para darle espacio también a los otros grupos. Sí.
Antes solamente se tomaba el nombre del conocimiento del lugar.
Yeah.
Sí. Y se ponía en la cartografía. Hoy hay una estandarización de por qué pone ese nombre y demás.
Today there is a process that years before there was not there. Okay, muchas gracias.
Okay.
Other group?
Yes, please.
Other group? That way?
You want to go first? Us? Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
So, our group discussed a few things. The importance of how it is that standardization is really a process, and that this process needs to be an inclusive process of determining what will be the actual names in terms of applying the
eras. Mm-hmm.
And the importance of including citizenry in addition to the relevant authorities and all the various stakeholders in the process, mm-hmm. so that the process is inclusive. And with that inclusivity, given consultations held, how it is that over time we can get buy-in and full support of all the various persons that are involved in the process.
Mm-hmm. Sí, sorry, Simón, just to translate a little bit. Simón está diciendo que tiene que ser un proceso inclusivo, o sea, el poner nombres a los lugares es un proceso inclusivo que involucra a las comunidades, que involucra a las autoridades normalmente y a otros actores. Pero en general, como se lleva el tema, digamos, es a través de un proceso que incorpora a distintos actores.
Okay, so with that, we shared examples from Canada, Mexico, and Brazil, and how it is that the respect for indigenous persons is key with respect to the whole standardization process, and in so accounting for one's culture, but also incorporating change over time in terms of how a country transitions. So accounting for that also. Mm-hmm. And the importance of trying to avoid things that were used in the past, so avoidance of derogatory terms or anything negative that may have negative connotation, avoiding that with respect to the whole standardization process. Mm-hmm. So avoiding things that cause any negativity. So that was key also.
Sí, de lo que alcancé a captar, y Eric, si me puedes ayudar ahí un poquito en español también, que estás al lado de dos palabras. No. Una de las cosas que capté de lo que decía Simón es que hay en el proceso también hay mucho respeto por los indígenas, ¿no? Los nombres que vienen de ese ámbito. No sé si hay alguna otra idea que puedan traducir desde allá, colegas. It's okay.
Anything else?
Okay.
Sí.
Okay. Es bueno.
Sí.
Next group, please.
Para allá.
Well, we talked about the importance of standardization in the case of Venezuela. They had this square that was a safe point for natural disasters and had its name changed recently. So people, when they needed to move to this square because of a natural disaster, people didn't know the place that they were supposed to go. So this is the importance of the standardization, because it's where people can find some places. We use geographical names to our mobile applications, Waze, Uber, etc. So it's on our day-to-day life. Also, we wrote something about the community dictionary. So it's important. It's important to recognize the cultural and the identity and the geographical name. So we see in a lot of countries in Brazil also, we have been changing names from the colonial perspective to native names. So it's also important to see this on time. So we see the past of the names and the futures. So standardization can give you the historical process. I'm sorry. Is this good? Yeah, it's good.
Thank you all very much, and you have all shared why you think geographical names are important. It affects everything in our lives, from persons who make maps, local authorities, for legal institutions, when they register in land holdings, in your cadastre, the statistical offices when they are doing censuses, public works department when they're putting up signs and posts, when you're making navigation systems for the seas and the earth, authorities of law and order, the police, rescue, when we have disasters, emergency services, they all need standardized names. So thank you very much for participating in that exercise. I hope you benefited. Okay. This section is about Ungegen, and you all know about Ungegen. Can I see a show of hands? You've heard of Ungegen?
Todos saben de Ungegen, del Comité de Nombres Geográficos.
Okay, so I don't need to go over. I'll skip these slides. You can look at them in your own time. Ungegen is about just promoting standardization of names, and it's made up of experts, geographers, linguists. I'm going to share a story with you. There is the conundrum between the group of experts on geographical names and the Committee of Experts on Global Geospatial Information Management. I was in a meeting, and we had some heads of national mapping agencies, which you also are, but they were not familiar with Ungegen and the work that Ungegen does. And the person said, I do not understand why Ungegen is not a part of UNGGIM. Because they're just names, and you just collect names and put names on a map. And I was kind of shocked. I was saying, this gentleman does not understand how important and the business of standardizing names. So I said to him, sir, it is a discipline in itself. You need to have linguists, historians. Do you know that names have masculine and feminine forms? Do you know that? And, you know, for translation purposes, do you know that countries with non-Roman scripts need to have their names transformed into Roman script that others of us can communicate with those countries to know their names? And there are so many different aspects and technical importance in terms of the study and the standardization of names that the average person who just made maps and they do not appreciate the intricacies and the technical requirements to standardize names. And this is something that I want you to leave here recognizing that it's a discipline in and of itself, and it requires linguists, it requires cartographers, it needs a bunch of persons with different expertise that to support the whole process for it to be done properly and for your names to have the place and form it needs within your country's national management of its resources. Because just like how you manage your geographical data, names are part of your geographical data, but it is, it has its own place within that whole structure. All right, so this is about Ongegen.
Sí, no, lo importante que resalta Cecil es que, en el fondo, este tema de los nombres geográficos es una disciplina en sí misma, ¿no? Y que, en el fondo, no solo involucra a los geoespaciales, sino que también a los lingüistas, a los cartógrafos, ¿no? Este, y algo más les iba a decir, pero me lo recuerdo lo quito.
I'm sorry.
Sí.
Anyway, so I'll continue quickly.
No. Ahora me acordé. Este, que en el fondo, los nombres geográficos son parte de los datos fundamentales, ¿no? Name, geographical names are part of the 14
fundamental
data teams of the UNGGIM. Eso es.
Yes.
Recuperé la memoria.
Yes, this is just saying, this just shows you how Ongegen is structured. It's very different from any other body within the UN because they have linguistic and geographical divisions. So, for example, you have a Chinese division or Indian division, just one country, because within India, they have so many different languages. And so for them, they have to do, be one division. So there's so much to know about. But what is important is for your country to know which division you're a member of and for you to actively participate in that division. I think that most countries in the Americas are part of the Latin America division, and you have the U.S. and Canada division. I do not know where the Caribbean countries are. They are not really represented here, but I don't know. Simone, do you know which division you're a member of? Just to say that a country can be a member of more than one division. So if you're in the Latin American division, but you like what is happening in the Indonesian division or in the USA and Canada division, you can join them. Am I correct, Eric? Yes, it is. So please feel free to actively participate in your division. I think Mexico is the current chair for the Latin America division. Am I correct, Gerardo?
Yes, we work with IPGH. In English, we work together. We work together.
Yes, and Eric, do you know who is the new U.S. representative in the Canada U.S. division?
I'm not quite sure, actually.
Okay, because the person retired who was the yeah. USA representative. Yes, so can I see a raise of hands of those who participate in their Ongegen divisions? I'm not putting you on the spot, please. Just for my knowledge. Do you, en español, ustedes participan?
Si ustedes participan en la división de Ongegen.
Sí. Okay. And those of you who don't, I encourage you to do so, to find out who is your chair. Go ahead. En español.
¿Del Instituto Geográfico Nacional? ¿O
Probablemente sea el Instituto Geográfico Nacional, José Joaquín Hungría Morel, que es, digamos, miembro de la sección nacional del IPGH en la República Dominicana.
Sí,
claro. Okay.
I don't have the information.
Oh, yes. Sí, entiendo.
My country is working.
Sí, entiendo. So the organization, the National Geographic Institute, is working in that in the Dominican Republic.
Muchas gracias. Okay. Yes, Simone.
A question, Cecile. Is there a significant overlap between the representatives in UNGGIM and UNGGEGAN, or is it distinct
varies.
In terms of who are the reps?
It varies, and that's why I came up with this, the project about collaborating between UNGGIM and UNGGEGAN. In some countries, like Eric's, they're both responsible. His National Resource Canada is responsible for geographical names and
topographic
and GGIM,
yeah.
Right? The spatial data management. In where else? In Mexico, it's the same. That entity is responsible for both names and the mapping.
In Argentina,
lo mismo. In
Nicaragua.
Nicaragua is lo mismo. Peru and Art. In other countries, you have sometimes a cultural institute that is responsible for names and not the mapping institute.
No.
Some countries have no body responsible for names. For example, in the UK, they really don't have a body responsible for the standardization of names. What they have is an international body responsible for names because they collect and monitor names across the world, right? I remember the UK was a colonizer, and their mapping agency did mapping, and so they manage the names of various countries because it is important that I know if I want to communicate with Japan, I want to know what the words, the place names in Japan are in English, right? And the U.S. also has an international arm for names, and they also have a local body for names. So it varies right across the world. In the Netherlands, they do not have a names board because they don't think it is important. Yeah, but like countries in Asia, where they have lots of non-Roman script and lots of islands, lots of languages, and it's a significant part of their cultural heritage, they put great emphasis on the standardization of names. So, as with everything else, it depends on the focus of your country and what your government wants to achieve. Eric wants to say something.
In Canada, I think that the issue that we're facing is that the names authorities,
yes,
will sometimes, as you mentioned, be co-located with mapping. In other places, it'll be with heritage.
Yes.
In other places, it's a body on its own that has no relationship whatsoever to mapping. Even at the Canadian level, for example, there's provincial name boards, right? They are the ones making the decision. We're only the roll-up, right? And in each and every province, it's different. Some of them, I will be talking to the same group of people that do mapping. In other places, it's going to be heritage, right? And they don't necessarily have nothing to do with mapping. That makes it very difficult because when you come together, you'll have some very savvy people in mapping that know the relationship with the names and around. And you turn around and there'll be another group, province, for example, names board as well, that has no knowledge of geographic, of mapping. because they do it in a totally different way from a very heritage perspective. And I think you can project that at the global level as well. There are some countries that are that do it from a mapping angle, and others will do it from a very cultural angle.
Yes, and even some boards are within a university. Yes, so it's just varied right across the world. There's no standard form for anything, right? So it depends on what a country wants and how important it sees the management and standardization of geographical names.
La pregunta es, en el fondo, ¿cómo se puede resolver ese tema cuando hay tantos actores involucrados? So how would it be possible to address and solve that issue when there are such a variety of actors involved and not talking among them?
One of the things that we recognize, and from a UN perspective, is that a country, it's a sovereign state.
Yeah.
And we really can't tell them what they need to do. Yeah. We can just provide guidelines.
Yeah.
And so it is for that country to decide how they would like to approach names. When I had a conversation with a representative from the Netherlands, they have a very strong history in terms of their university professor, in terms of the work done in terms of names. But when you speak to, like, the persons who are responsible for mapping, because of their long history, it is settled. They have very few issues that has to do with the standardization of names. And so the focus for them is not on names, but on other matters and in other disciplines. Mm-hmm. But I strongly believe that, as with anything, you may not recognize now how important, and that is why I want you to have the conversation about how beneficial names are to your country, because sometimes there are benefits to be had that you do not realize. At the last Ongegan meeting, Chinese presented a program, they presented a paper where they have an actual TV show that advocates names. So it's a quiz program that they encourage the public to participate to learn about the various names, their relevance, history, and culture across the entire China. And they said that it had some of the highest TV ratings in China. Do you want to translate?
Sí, no. Lo que está diciendo Cecil es que en China hay un programa de televisión donde, en el fondo, se difunde este tema de los nombres geográficos. Hay mucha participación, y que dice que es uno de los programas que tiene más alto rating.
Yes.
en la televisión china.
Yeah, and that TV program actually won awards in China.
Sí, y ha ganado premios.
Of its importance and significance.
Claro.
And because they believe that it's a strong part of their culture and history.
Claro.
And they thought they should use the avenue of broadcast medium to share the value of what names mean to them as a people and a country.
No, es por la fuerte componente cultural que tiene el tema de los nombres geográficos en China, que tiene tanta importancia y tanta difusión.
Okay, and if you so wish to decide to work and participate and support Ongegan, these are some of Ongegan working groups that you can become a member of. Ongegan working groups. It is beneficial to Ongegan globally, regionally, but of course you would be also helping yourself.
Can you go back to the previous? Aquí está este grupo de geonames data management. Yo creo que that is very related, for example, with I don't know, spatial data infrastructures. So I think that there is a good space for the
actually,
people to participate
actually,
there.
Actually, Pier Giorgio from Germany, who is our GGM representative is also the chair of that working group. So because the German Mapping Agency is also responsible for geographical names, so he's a person who goes between both groups. So he attends both GGM meetings and he attends, just like Eric, both Ungegen meetings. And so, well, no, somebody else represents Eric at GGM. But he is a good go-between, and it's a good person to speak to because he crosses the realm and he's responsible. And they're a very active group, and they're now looking at linked data, mm-hmm. yes, and how we can get that going in geographical names. And another big part of Ungegen's work is how it connects with various international organizations and groups, and these are a number of them. So members of Ungegen who are also members of these organizations, and they report at our every two-year meetings, biennial meetings, I think, and they will share what is happening in these various technical organizations. Okay. This is the interesting part of why we're having this meeting. We don't have much time, but we're going to try to do this. You have some experience, I know, about names. I had hoped to have more persons. Eric, don't look so sad, please. I'm excited because I actually got some memorabilia, so depending on how good the performance is, you will get some prizes based on the work. But actually what we want to do is to simulate what happens when you have a names issue and a community advocate goes to a board, a names board, and the name board decides. And that is why I said persons should like who are board members and who are community members. Given that we're so small, we're going to have a group that are the board members and another group who are the community members, right? Usually, a names board, Eric is very familiar with this, but this is very made up, right? Usually, a names board is made up of persons from various disciplines, right? You may have a geographer, you may have person from the local government, you may have person from the provincial government, you may have cartographers. Depending on how you want to address your names, you need to have a wide variety of persons to help with your standardization process. So when you form your groups, the board, we need to select somebody who is a chair, and we need to select a secretary. So I'm going to ask you now to divide yourself into two groups, board and community. And I wanted to have two community applications, but because we're so small and time is up on us, we're going to have just one. And you can decide, the community can decide what they would like to discuss. The author, you could hear an application from a local community to get rid of a name that is considered derogatory and to approve and a different name. Or you could have a community that has a name that is confusing. Many persons do not know what I should call this community. And the community had a meeting, and now you're going to go to the board, and you're going to say to them why you would want to have this name. And basic principles are provided, because if you're going to standardize names, you need to have guidelines and principles. And what I did was to use the Canadian guidelines, Eric. So I'm going to ask both the community and the board to log on. You all have internet access. So you're going to log on and you're going to find the Canadian principles and procedures. And you're going to use principles 5, 7, and appendix 3 for your guidelines. And you may consider things like language, how much, because you're going to make it up, right? So you're going to make it up. It's supposed to be fun. You're all looking very pensive, like I'm asking you to do something very difficult. So the community group is going to be representing members of a community, and you want to change an existing name because it is considered derogatory, and your job will be to convince the council that this name that you create, a derogatory name, they should get rid of it and a new name be made. Or you're going to want them to convince that you want to have a commemorative name. So you can choose either one if you wish. And there's also UN guidelines that tells you how you can go about standardizing names. You can use that also if you wish. But we ask that you, and then of course, this is just a chart that shows you that the process can be quite simple. The name is submitted, it is checked. Sometimes they go in the field and they talk to the persons. And of course, they come back and there's a board meeting, and then the public might be notified, the minister may be approved, but it depends on the process that happens within the country, because each country, they have their own processes, right? And this is like a process from New Zealand, where they receive a proposal from a group, they do a research, the report, the board considers. There's a publicly notified, you know, asking for submissions. Are you in agreement with this? The board consider the submission. The board or the minister makes the final decision. It is gazetted and the gazetteer is updated, right? So basic steps. In the end, you have all of these things happening. But for us, this is the steps we are going to take, and we hope that we'll get it done within the time. So, the persons who are in the community group, you're going to meet and you're going to decide on your submission. And then you're going to present it to the board, and then the board will share how they decide. Is that clear? Does it make sense?
¿Se entendió el ejercicio? ¿Más o menos? Bueno, lo primero que necesitamos saber es quiénes pertenecen al grupo del board y quienes pertenecen al grupo del community. ¿Se acuerdan que les pasamos un papelito? Era para hacer este trabajo, ¿no? Era más simple, no era tan comprometedor, ¿ya? Entonces, lo primero es que se forme un grupo, el board se puede poner al lado de acá, y el community se pone al lado de acá, ¿ya? Y si vamos un poquito más atrás en la diapositiva, can you go back in the slide before, aquí. Entonces, vamos a trabajar solamente con un only one group.
Yes, because we don't have many persons.
No tenemos tantas personas, y para que lo hagamos relativamente rápido, el grupo de la comunidad, ¿no? Va aquí lo que se plantea es que quiere hacer un cambio en un nombre existente, ¿no? Y en el fondo va argumentar por qué quiere cambiar ese nombre, ¿no? Que en el fondo lo van a derogar y lo quieren reemplazar por un nuevo nombre, ¿no? Y la comunidad le presenta este caso al board, y el board va a discutir si en el fondo lo acepta o no lo acepta. Ese es el ejercicio. Entonces el grupo de comunidad trabaja acá y el grupo, el del board, aquí al otro lado. So, in English, did you understand well what the exercise is? Okay. So, board here and community here. So, si hay alguien del board, va al otro lado.
Yes, Eric.
Community. Community, don Ali. Excelente.
Parte lúdica de la reunión.
It's important for the board and the community to look at the guidelines that Canada has, because it will inform what you do.
See.
So you need to. You can scan. Oh well, you. I don't know if you can scan, and or to get the link to the guidelines. Yes, yeah, so first you need to come up with a bad name. Yeah. So you need to decide on a very bad name that is, yeah. And then you need to have a name that is a, to replace that name. And then you need to justify why. You can look at things like individual political reasons, you know, there was ethnic or cultural issues, historical issues, and why you need to change it. Anything to do with the population and so on, the supporting aspect. But Eric is a pro on this. Everybody should have one. Okay, I understand that the community board, the community is ready to present to you. So, are you ready to present? Okay. Okay, so can we have, I understand there are two groups now? Yes, so can we have the first group presenting to the board? Board members, please, you're on the floor. You need to take where's Alvaro, my translator?
He's there.
You need to take very good notes of the presentation because you need to let us know, where's my thing? The board members, right, need to hear the application, and the board members must be able to say why they are accepting the submission, right? And you have to discuss openly with us why you are accepting, approving, not approving, what you're recommending, and you must give supporting guidelines as to why the decision you have taken. Okay. Go ahead, please.
So, board members, we took the liberty to divide ourselves in two for the exercise. To make your life complicated a little more in this exercise. So this first group here is going to present a change, and the other group is going to explain why they disagree, because communities not always speak as one. Sometimes you will have different opinion in the community. So we come to you to change, to ask for a name change of a river in our community. And this river is called Savage River. So you will understand that the word savage was what the white people used to call the indigenous in our community. And we find that this word is derogatory. So, and we want to change...
Translation?
Yes.
I was not there hearing.
Okay, so I said...
Caio is translating, but he's saying what he wants.
Exactly, as always.
Huh?
As always. No, I was about to do that. So, given that this name is derogatory to indigenous people, we want to change that, this name, and to respect and recognize the indigenous people in our community. So we want to call this river Wild River instead, which is something that represents the river because it's a very tumultuous river, and we want to call it Wild River. That way it respects what the river is, but it also respects the community that were here before the white man came.
Well, this part of the community that doesn't want and doesn't support the change, because when the river was named Savage River, there was any population near the river. So it doesn't have anything to do with the people near the river. It has always been named like that. So we don't consider it necessary to change the name. Everybody knows the river like this, so it should keep the name that it has. Esta parte de la comunidad no soporta ni quiere el cambio del río, porque cuando empezó a nombrarse así muchos años atrás, no existía ninguna población ni asentamientos humanos alrededor del río. Entonces eso indica que no tiene nada que ver con las personas que lo habitan o que ocupan o hacen provecho del río. Todas las personas conocen el río de esta manera, entonces no consideramos necesario el cambio del nombre. Gracias.
Yes.
Estamos esperando sus decisiones.
Excusamente, we need to hear your discussions. Okay.
Porque el requisito era que sea un nombre conmemorativo.
No.
Sí, Sergio.
Eso fue en el principio de la historia, no eligieron un nombre representativo.
Y por eso, entonces ya no cumple con uno de los requisitos que pidió, sino...
Está bien, pero no quiere decir que esté mal, es otro tipo de nombre. Si fuera un nombre conmemorativo, tendría que tener otras cosas, pero no es el caso, me parece.
¿No tiene que ser aceptado por la comunidad?
Sí, tenemos, sí, como el principio, este principio 2 dice que son nombres que es la...
Pero el principio 2 no pidieron que usarlo.
Sí, no, pero que es la argumentación del grupo 2. Que lo dijeron, no, este nombre siempre usamos, la comunidad, entonces sí, nadie que tiene nada que ver con este cambio. Pero en mi idea es como que es un nombre que es como
son dos nombres efectivos.
¿Qué será? ¿El principio en la PDC3? ¿El principio 5 y el 3?
Como tenemos la idea de que this group, the second group used the principle 2 of the Canadian, I think. They are saying that they use the name for a long time and there's nothing to do with que no tiene nada con esto, que es un nombre de uso común hace mucho tiempo. But the other group is saying that's derogatory because to the native and the indigenous people. So we are thinking about it using principle 2. Okay. Just to give you the feedback.
Established forms of answering, of course, with the extent that here should prevail unless it believes.
Okay, while the board is thinking, this group, look at the screen, and these are some questions I have for you that you can think about, and we can talk afterwards if we have time. I think we're near out of time.
No.
Hay una parte de la comunidad que quiere cambiar de lugar. ¿Por qué quiere cambiar de lugar? Porque el salvaje le parece
que es como
ofensivo,
ofensivo para,
como para los que viven alrededor.
Para la población nativa, sí, como para los indígenas. Porque era como
ellos lo conocen,
llamaban los indígenas. Por ejemplo, en este caso, había una isla que llamaba Nigger Island. Nigger es como negro, es una palabra ofensiva en inglés. Entonces cambiaron para un otro nombre. O Chinaman Peak, como lo pico de... ¿Pico? ¿Ustedes pico?
No.
La parte más alta de la montaña.
Sí, sí.
Pico de los chinos. Sí. Pero ahora es Haling Peak. Entonces, no sé, para mí cambiaba porque si dicen que se baje es una palabra, ¿sabes? Sí, sí. Se cambia porque es ofensivo.
Yo la cambiaría, pero porque se mantendría el sentido del pueblo originario.
¿La cambiarías o no?
Sí, pero se mantendría, es que es ofensivo, me baso solo en eso, pero si lo cambian de un descriptivo a otro descriptivo que dice más o menos lo mismo, estaríamos respetando el sentido original de lo que
fue. Sí, pero me parece que nosotros dijimos, si se han cambiado por el mismo descriptivo, como que no está. Lo que dicen es el descriptivo.
Sí, los primeros están diciendo que cambié para wild, que es salvaje, pero no como llama una persona, salvaje como...
El lugar es salvaje.
Sí, sí, sí. The wilderness is como...
En base a esto, entonces, ¿lo de ofensivo prevalece sobre la historia?
Sí, porque por el arraigo histórico estaba volviendo y por respetar al pueblo originario.
Por el respeto al pueblo originario, sí.
Mantenerlo.
No, hay que cambiarlo, entonces...
Yo lo mantendría por eso, pero
vamos
por el asunto
más.
De que es ofensivo.
Bueno, pero podemos responder esto. A ver qué prevalece más. ¿De acuerdo a esto, si prevalece la historia o qué tan ofensivo es? No pareciera que salvaje fuese muy ofensivo. Porque salvaje es ofensivo. No sé si salvaje es ofensivo.
Es que tenemos dos a favor, arraigo histórico y respeto a pueblo original.
Claro.
Para mantenerlo.
¿Cómo cambiar o mantener?
Mantener.
¿Sí?
Por arraigo histórico.
Porque,
por,
sí.
Respeto al pueblo originario.
There is a decision.
There is a decision.
There is a decision there.
Okay. No consideramos que.
No consideran que es ofensivo.
No.
Pero
que
hay una ayuda.
¿Qué cosa? Pensamos que no es ofensivo.
Salvaje no es ofensivo.
¿Ya?
Eres un salvaje, si te digo. ¿Dependes?
Depende del país. O sea,
sí,
y depende
para
de...
En inglés, savage is kind of ofensivo. So, savage.
Sí. Y depende del contexto y cómo
sí,
lo diga.
Sí, exacto. Tenemos dos comunidades, pero...
Sí. La comunidad dice que es la historia,
el arraigo.
El arraigo de la comunidad.
No tenían personas viviendo.
No. Claro.
Pero somos la autoridad, ¿no? No,
you decide.
Yo lo mantendría y haría discusión de lo que significa para el pueblo.
Para que entienda.
Para que la comunidad actual entienda lo que significa para el pueblo.
Decidan y cualquier cosa se arregla con una cerveza en la tarde.
El limón. Entonces no quieren cambiar, ¿sí?
No queremos cambiar,
pero
hay que hacer difusión del
nombre. Pero que no parece ofensivo.
Okay, so the board is going to announce their decision.
Speaking Spanish.
Ahí va a hablar the chief of the board in Spanish.
En principio decidimos mantener el nombre.
The decision is to keep the name.
Respetando el uso y costumbre del pueblo originario, y porque es un nombre que viene usado de hace mucho tiempo por la misma comunidad originaria. Respecto a la primera posición, no sabemos desde el punto de vista del lenguaje qué tan ofensivo es, porque en principio el cambio sería porque pareciera ofensivo.
They are not aware on how offensive can be the name or not. They are not aware because it depends of the context or the different, I don't know, cultures.
Pero por eso como no sabemos en cuanto al lenguaje, decidimos mantener el nombre justamente para respetar el uso y costumbre y la voluntad del pueblo originario.
They are respecting the culture or the heritage of which the name comes.
Del nombre del pueblo originario, no sé cómo se dice.
So the name of the
historical
the origin town, yes, or village.
Eso en base a los principios que vimos, ¿no?
They review the principles and their decision is based in those principles. ¿Cuáles son exactamente esos principios? Pregunta.
El principio 2, principle 2, and we also checked the principle 7 that talks about derogatory. So we needed more information to understand if it's not, because the group 2 said that no one used to live there. So maybe this word, and I'm not sure because I'm not an English speaker, that savage can be used only for people or can be used as like the synonyms of wild, as you said.
Do you want to appeal or respond? Yes.
We have to say we are very disappointed in your decision, showing that the board doesn't have much respect for indigenous people. And yes, we'd like to appeal. But I think the exercise shows that it is a difficult task to be on a board. I think some research should be done with historians to actually validate if people actually live there or not. To base that decision, we might not have that today, but we recommend that such a investigation be done, and if it was the case, to change the name. So that would be an appeal, and if it was verified by historians that actually there was no indigenous population near that river, we will respect that decision.
Okay. And so thank you all very much. My question to you, based on the screen, is: what did you learn from this exercise? And Eric said the first thing, said that it is a difficult exercise. All right. Anybody else would like to share what you gained from this?
I think it's important what you said, Cecile, about having more than cartographers, linguists. We need to have a historian person here to help us. Will be very helpful because we don't know the process of the occupation. Also, someone giving the full perspective of the community, because we have two groups from the same community. Also, leadership on the community is very important to better understand. But these multi-sectorial teams are very important. Como los equipos serían como de muchas formaciones diferentes, distintas, como geógrafos, historiadores, todo más.
Okay, anything else? Yes, Simone.
As one who is not familiar with this process, something came to mind. How does one strike the balance between wanting to maintain historical account, but also accounting for change over time in terms of change in perspective? What was acceptable in a particular time frame and how that changes over time in terms of becoming non-acceptable, but also wanting to account for and maintain history.
That is why some places have two needs.
Bridge that gap and find a strike a balance between that.
And
following up to that, in cases like this, how long can the case go on in terms of trying to come to a consensus? Days, weeks, months, or sometimes there is not a resolve.
And that is why you have a standardization process in your country. That is why there are rules, and that is why there are guidelines, and that is why you need to have a body and a board, and you need to have a final arbiter, usually the minister. If you can, I've had a case stories, papers that have been written. I think it was in Norway or one of those Scandinavian countries. I can share the proper story with you, where the name was so contentious that the province decided to have a referendum on the change of the name because they could not decide. So they said, let the people decide. And that's the extent to which sometimes you have to, some jurisdictions go to resolve name issues because they see it as so important. So yes, Simone, I have seen where it is a very difficult exercise. It can be very contentious culturally, politically. People take people to court. Yes, it is. It's not an easy exercise. And so that is why it's important to have these bodies and rules, because to exist in any society, you need to have rules, guidelines, legislation to exist, that you work within these rules. Yes. Anybody else would like to share anything else?
Álvaro, estos principios de Canadá son adoptados por Wenningham o...
See, the question of from Sergio is if this principle of Canada are accepted by Ungegen? What is the...
Okay, what happens is that if you look, Ungegen has a body of resolutions that provide certain guidelines. I shared some with you on the screen in the presentation. And these guidelines vary in terms of certain principles that they encourage countries to use. Remember that in terms of the UN, these are guidelines. A country may say, accept them and use them, but you can not use them if you wish. So it all depends on what your country wants and your focus and your decision. I think Canada largely follows the guidelines and the resolutions set by Ungegen. They do. Yeah. You're welcome.
Sue, yes. One of the slides spoke to the avoidance of unnecessarily changing names.
Mm-hmm.
And Adisha just asked me a good question, because I'm sure many countries have the case whereby names are changed based on whoever is in power. So a lot of it can be politically motivated,
yes,
which may not tie in, which we consider really unnecessarily changing names.
Yes.
Right, such as the naming of highways in particular, or particular sites, historical sites, them being named according, whoever is in power in terms of politics.
And that is why,
yes.
And that is why, because there is, you're referring to Jamaica, I see it all the time, a politician decides to name a highway or some important national monument about themselves, and there's a rule in Ungegen about, because this is called like commemorative names, that because, like, just for Christopher Columbus, remember during the Black Lives Movement, they decided to get rid of all of his statues, and so there's a guideline, I'm not remembering it exactly, that Ongegen says that you have to be very careful in terms of placing person's name on these various feature names, because over time the person may become a vagabond or a criminal, and you do not want to be that entity associated with that name. So you have to be careful. But Jamaica does not have a very strong or any naming authority that needs to say to these ministers and so that this is not the way we ought to proceed in going about this business of names. And we need to have at the local level or the national level that they meet properly and decide. But a minister just gets up one day and says a road or something needs to be named. It's not the correct procedure. And so that is why good reasoning need to be brought to bear on some of these ministers. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a challenge in many countries. Yes. We see it happen every day. I see it happen every day. There are many stories in the news. Like now in India, there's a story in India about changing India to another name. But name is the Hindi name. But it's in their constitution. And they'll tell you that we in India already call India. It's called Bharat. Yes, Bharat. Right, but it's the Indian Hindi name for India, and it's written in their constitution. But because the opposition party has now called itself India, the ruling party wants to separate itself and say no, we cannot have that, so we will call India Bharat. So names are political. Yes. Anything else? No. Anybody would like to share any other thing? Do you have a different impression about name standardization? Has it changed for you during this last hour? I see Simone shaking her head. I convinced only one person.
Yes. For one who had no very limited knowledge, our knowledge. Yes. Very interesting.
I had hoped you can share it with your colleagues who did not come, that they missed a learning opportunity. Yes. And I have lots of information in the slides. You can share it and load. So what I did, what I tried to do was to make you think about it before actually getting into the meat. So the slides are there with all the information. How you go about creating a names authority, the mandate, how you do it, the different structures, what are the responsible things. I even have another activity. And I shared why, like something from Cyprus. We have lots of stories that can be shared in terms of why for Cyprus it is important. And another discussion thing. And I wanted to talk about the collaborative project, but I don't need to do that. And that was it. Because we're at the end.
Wow. Too much information.
Yes, it's lots of information. Too much.
The slide with the question to Cecile.
Which one?
About the naming authority. And becoming...
Which one? That one? You can talk to me afterwards, Simone.
Okay.
All right, so... I want to say thank you very much. I enjoyed myself and I enjoyed listening to you. Thank you very much. I thought that because I had a feeling that very few people would come to this meeting, I went ahead and I went to the UN gift shop and I got some little prizes, little tokens for you. And I don't know how you are going to distribute them, because some of them are nicer than others. And I won't say how you're going to I don't know how you're going to distribute them, but this is for me to say thanks for listening to me and for playing my game, because these were games, right? I hope you had fun. You had fun?
Yeah.
You had fun? Yes, so it is like part of having fun. So if you participated, you can have any of these things. And I guess the person, I don't know how you want to distribute them. I'm sorry, I am unable to say. But these are yours.
The head of the community and the head of the board, they should decide.
So thank you all very much. A bigger document is also uploaded to the website that you can look at and you can share with members in your group. I know that for the Americas, PAIGH, P-A-I-G-H, plays a very important role in supporting name standardization in the Americas, and they will continue to do so. I think some of you may be going to their meeting next week in Dominican Republic, no?
Yes, 2 weeks.
Yes, we'll be going to their meeting. I'd hope to attend, but I cannot go. Yes, so... I had hoped to talk a little bit with them about partnering with us on the names, the UNGGM Ongegen project. I know that a number of you had signed up during the meeting and had expressed interest in participating. Your name may not be here. Here, Argentina is there, Jamaica, mm-hmm. and Chile. So, of course, I'll be calling upon you to support further this collaborative project between Ongegen and GGIM. Yes. So, without further ado, thank you very much. You thank can you go and have lunch.
Dos anuncios domésticos. El primer anuncio. Aquí, a las 2 de la tarde, tenemos reunión de Carigeo, los países del Caribe. Pero todos quieran participar, pueden estar acá, en esta sala a las 2 de la tarde. En la sala Medina hay otro evento a las 2 y media con el sector académico, así que dependiendo de su preferencia, pueden estar aquí o allá. Y lo segundo es que para almorzar tenemos dos cafeterías, ¿ya? Una que está cerquita de la laguna a la entrada y hay otra acá al fondo de... de el pasillo. So we have two meetings, the Carigeo meeting in this same place at 2 p.m. and in the Medina conference room at 2:30 for the academic community. And for having lunch, there are two alternatives: a small cafeteria close to the lagoon there, and other one bigger in the going to the I think north or is the ¿cómo se dice? Al final del pasillo.
The end of the passage.
Yes, and the at the end of the big passage up to there.
Okay, so you can help yourself.
¿Estás en Buenos Aires? Ah, sí, estás en Buenos Aires,
tomamos algo. Don't be shy.
En abril.
Okay.
Look, I want.
Okay.
This is for later.
Of course.